Chapter 8. Tarsesians of the Sacred Heart. "Mother," said a 5-year-old Memphis girl on her arrival home from school, "I'm a missionary of the Sacred Heart." "A missionary?" exclaimed her mother. "You're too small to be a missionary. You'll have to wait until you grow up." "Oh, no, Mother. I can be a missionary right now. I heard all about it in school today. Sister told us a story of an 8-year-old girl who became a missionary for Jesus and saved a big sinner." "And how did she do that?" questioned the mother. "By earning golden pennies," came the answer. "Golden pennies? I never heard of them. What are they?" But while the mother and grandmother listened, the child related what she had heard in school. Here is the story. It happened to Father Mateo when he was a young priest in Valparaiso. When he was preparing children for their first Holy Communion, he urged them to be generous in making sacrifices to show their love for Jesus. One little girl was very generous and made many sacrifices. One day, after making her first communion, she said to Father Mateo, "Father, Jesus asked me this morning if I really loved him." "You mean our Lord really talks to you?" "Yes, Father, every time I go to communion." "Well, if he does talk to you, what does he say?" The priest was inclined to be skeptical. "This morning, he asked me if I really loved him, and I told him he shouldn't ask me that question. When he asked me why, I told him, 'You're God, you know I love you.' Jesus told me, 'I know that, but I'd like to hear you tell me.'" Well, still skeptical, Father Mateo demanded proof. He told the little girl that if Jesus really spoke to her, she was to tell him that Father didn't believe and wanted proof. The proof was to be the sudden conversion of a big sinner, a fallen away Catholic, an enemy of the church. "If this man comes to me to confession," said Father, "then I will believe Jesus really spoke to you." The little child promised to carry out his request. About a week later, as Father Mateo was hearing confessions in the church, the child came into the confessional quite excited. "Father," she said, "please hurry and give me absolution, for that sinner is coming." On being questioned by Father, who pretended to have forgotten about the matter, she related how she had told Jesus of her confessor's request and how our Lord had answered by telling her that he would give her this soul and many, many souls. "Always ask me for souls, and I will give them to you. And tell Father to ask me for souls, and I will give them to him too. But first, you must become my missionary." Well, surprised at the word missionary, the girl told him she was too small. "I'm only 8 years old." Our Lord assured her he would make her his missionary, but she would have to pay a certain price for souls. "I want you," said Jesus, "to earn 3 golden pennies. Her answer was, "Don't take 3 pennies only, take my whole savings bank." Then our Lord explained that the first golden penny was to be her prayers to him for souls. The second, her little sacrifices, especially acts of obedience. The third, a promise never to miss Mass or Communion through her own fault, and to visit me often in the Blessed Sacrament. Well, the generous little missionary paid the price demanded by Jesus, and her confidence and generosity were soon rewarded. As Father Mateo was leaving the confessional, the great enemy of the church entered the church. "Just a minute, Father," he said. "I don't know what has happened to me, but since this morning, I feel that I'm a different man. Something inside me has been urging me to come to confession. Father, you will have to help me, for this is going to be my first confession." Father heard his confession, realizing that Jesus had given him the sign he had asked for. Now he knew our Lord had really spoken to that little girl. Poor Jesus. When the Memphis child finished telling this story in her own way, she said, "Now do you see how I can be a missionary?" The grandmother answered, "If you're going to be a missionary, why not start with your own grandfather? You know he hasn't been to church in a long time. And let's begin right now to earn golden pennies by paying a visit to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Well, soon the two were kneeling side by side at the communion rail. Suddenly, the grandmother heard her granddaughter whispering. Looking down, she saw her with hands folded, shaking her head sadly, and heard her saying, "Poor Jesus, Grandpa doesn't love you. Please, Jesus, help me to get him to love you." After promising to earn many golden pennies for Grandfather, the child returned home. That evening, after supper, she went into the room where her grandfather was reading the evening paper. Paying no attention to him, she went over and knelt before a Sacred Heart picture. Suddenly, to his surprise, he heard her speaking. Putting down his newspaper, he saw her with hands folded, looking up at the Sacred Heart, and heard her saying, "Poor Jesus, Grandpa doesn't love you." Startled, the old man demanded, "Who are you talking about? Are you talking about me?" Her only answer was to repeat, "Poor Jesus." Grandpa pretended to be very busy reading the paper, but something was happening to him. He was upset, so much so that the very next day he went to church and made his first confession in 20 years. The little missionary had indeed paid the price for his soul. And Jesus, faithful to his promise, gave the stubborn old grandfather the grace to make a good confession. Convert makers. What happened in Valparaiso and in Memphis has been happening wherever the story of the three golden pennies has been told. And it's been told all over the world, for wherever Father Mateo preached, he handed on the wonderful lesson he had received as a young priest, that our Lord wants us to help him save souls by paying the price for them through the earning of golden pennies, offering each little prayer, each little sacrifice, each Eucharistic practice as an act of love to his Sacred Heart to make up for the sins of others, that he will employ the weakest of instruments in the eyes of the world, and little children, and through them, convert the most hardened sinners. Here in the United States, these young missionaries are to be found from coast to coast, and the number of souls they have saved will never be known until we get to heaven. Sometimes a group of them will start a campaign to convert the hardened sinners of the parish. One such group in Ozone Park, Long Island, wrote that they had already converted 12 big sinners through their golden pennies. Again, it's a boy or girl who will set out to convert a fallen away or a non-Catholic parent. I remember getting a letter from a boy in Mansfield, Ohio. Dick wrote that he was starting a campaign to earn golden pennies to convert his father, a non-Catholic doctor. The eighth grader set to work. Among other things, he succeeded in signing up over 125 men as night adorers. Included in the list was his own father. Not long after, the father, while studying surgery in another city, secretly began instructions and was baptized. When he returned home, it was a proud Tarsician who knelt beside his father as he made his first Holy Communion. These zealous young missionaries are called Tarsicians of the Sacred Heart because their patron is Saint Tarsicius, a boy martyr put to death in the early centuries while trying to bring the Blessed Sacrament to the Christians in prison. Like Saint Tarsicius, whose feast is celebrated August 15th, modern Tarsicians love the Eucharist, are not afraid to make sacrifices, and strive to bring Jesus into their own homes and the homes of others. Started by Father Mateo to aid him in getting the Sacred Heart enthroned in the home, the Tarsicians have succeeded in opening up countless doors to the King in their own homes. Even first and second graders have phenomenal success along these lines. One sister wrote that her first graders are working hard to get their parents to have the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in their homes. Thus far, 15 have been successful. One little girl expresses it thus, "I just talked them into it." Bobby's story. Bobby was a second grader in a school in Vicksburg conducted by the Brothers of the Sacred Heart. He became a Tarsesian and started earning golden pennies that he might get the enthronement in his home. Then he asked his mother to enthrone the Sacred Heart, but she hesitated because her Catholic husband was not practicing his religion. Some few days later, one of the priests, while looking for a family, happened to walk into Bobby's home seeking information. Upon hearing that the family was Catholic, he suggested to the mother that she have the enthronement. The priest was told that her son had already made the request and that she would be delighted to have it. Then and there, the date was settled. The day of the enthronement was a happy one for Bobby because his dad not only attended Mass that Sunday, the first time in many years, on Sunday he usually went hunting, but he also promised his wife and son that he would faithfully keep his promise. One evening, shortly before Easter, while Bobby was being put to bed by his dad, Bobby asked his father if he loved him. On being assured that he did, he then asked him, "Do you really love God?" When his father answered that he thought he loved God, Bobby asked him to prove it by receiving him in Holy Communion on Easter Sunday. His father not only kept his promise, but has been going to the sacraments every week with his family ever since. Moreover, the family says the enthronement prayer each night and says the family rosary daily. Bobby had been a true Tarsesian. He had brought Jesus into his home. Favors galore. Endless are the favors obtained through the golden pennies of the Tarsesians. Sometimes they gang up on the parent of one of their group. A sister writes, "The first big sinner for whom we prayed was the father of one of the Tarsesians, a drunkard for a long time. He became so bad, he was placed in an alcoholics institution. We wrote his name on a slip of paper and placed it under the Sacred Heart statue. We prayed very hard and made many sacrifices for his soul. The week before Christmas, his wife went to see him and found him a changed man. He promised her he would never touch whiskey again. He came home for Christmas, is holding down a good job, and is living as a good Catholic." The Sacred Heart seems to be unable to resist the pleas of his Tarsesians. They ask for miracles and obtain them. For instance, a young Catholic girl married out of the church. She joined the Methodist Church and raised her three children as Methodists. A few years ago, as a result of worry, she lost her mind. As soon as her little nephew became a Tarsesian, he began earning golden pennies for her soul. She became perfectly normal and asked for a priest. The priest went to her room and she made her peace with God. She died the next day, a quiet and happy death, after she had received our Lord in Holy Communion. Tarsesians everywhere. You'll find Tarsesians in classrooms in Catholic schools. You'll find them organized in release time classes. Confraternity workers start them among their public school children with remarkable results. One sister of St. Joseph of Orange, California, has had great success with public school children. One of them, Margaret James, after becoming a Tarsesian, was admitted to St. Joseph's Hospital in Orange, suffering from leukemia. Knowing she was going to die, she was happy and resigned. Cheerfully, she accepted her terrible sufferings and offered them for the conversion of souls. "What soul shall we pray for today?" she would say to the sister. Remarkable conversions resulted from her prayers. Never a complaint from her lips. Once she was found crying because sin hurts Jesus. In a coma at the end, she regained consciousness long enough to recognize her parents and smile at them. She nodded her head when her father asked her to remember them in heaven. Public school Tarsesians formed an honor guard at her funeral. All who knew her considered her a saint. Such is the stuff Tarsesians are made of. Many families have started Tarsesian clubs in their own homes. They hold weekly meetings and sometimes invite other children to join. One father tells us that he has no more problems getting the children to obey, to do their chores, and to go to bed on time. A chart on the kitchen wall listing their duties is well marked at the end of the day with the golden pennies earned by the youngsters. One mother writes, "We had the Sacred Heart enthroned in our home this summer, and I signed up as a night adorer. Since the children receive your literature about the Tarsesians and read in the official bi-monthly of the Tarsesians about earning golden pennies, they've been earning golden pennies like mad and have been putting them in a dish near the Sacred Heart statue. We cut up tin foil for golden pennies, and whenever one of the children feels he has earned one through prayers and sacrifices, he gets a penny and presents it to the Sacred Heart. They earned 50 for the conversion of a friend, and then began earning 100 for the return of a relative to the sacraments. They paid for what they ordered out of their own money, and are going to adopt a missionary priest, one of the goals of the Tarsesians, and send him pictures and leaflets required for the enthronement." Generally, children are anxious to join the Tarsesians and not received immediately. They must serve a probationary period in which their parents or guardians watch their behavior. This is reported to the school, and then, if possible, a solemn reception is held in the church, during which the Tarsesians receive their membership card, their official button, and their manual, "My Half Hour with Jesus." They use this to make their weekly half hour of adoration, either in the church or at home. My Hardest Golden Penny. Tarsesians perform all kinds of sacrifices. A New Jersey girl goes to Mass daily under difficult circumstances so that her family might become Catholics. A Virginia boy gave up riding his bicycle for an entire week. A Wisconsin lad wrote, "My hardest golden penny was taking care of my baby brother. On the outside, I looked as though I liked it, but on the inside, I was really mad." Tarsesians eat food they don't like, do distasteful chores, help others, obey sisters and parents, and get up early to go to Mass, all for the Sacred Heart and to save souls. What is the secret of the Tarsesians' generosity? There is no secret. The Sacred Heart gives them the extraordinary graces he promised to those who promote devotion to his heart. It's as simple as that. Nor must we think that the membership of the Tarsesians is limited to the fervent and pious children in a school. On the contrary, some of the most difficult problem children have been transformed into obedient and generous youngsters through the influence of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, who loves the weak and those who need his mercy the most. Sisters have reported that disciplinary problems have disappeared in schools where children came from broken homes. The generosity of American Tarsesians is exemplified by the golden penny check sent to the Holy Father a few years ago. It totaled over 86 million golden pennies, of which some 23 million were sacrifices. It was probably one of the largest spiritual bouquets ever sent to the Holy Father by a group of American children. It merited a beautiful letter from His Holiness, praising the Tarsesians for their generosity and encouraging them to continue their activities for the Sacred Heart. The Sovereign Pontiff sent them the Apostolic Benediction. Tarsesians have their own checkbooks, which they use to send in their totals of golden pennies to the National Center or their local secretariats. One of the practical things about the Tarsesians is that where the league cannot be started as such, its program can be adopted by other organizations. In this way, the graces and blessings that come to Tarsesians may be had by members of all youth groups. And then, too, it adds something to every movement, the motive of love that goes with devotion to the Sacred Heart and concentration on the home as a special field of activity. The League of Tarsesians was first approved by Pope Benedict XV and is richly indulgenced. For instance, registered members gain an indulgence of 100 days each time they perform an act of devotion, obedience, or mortification in honor of the Eucharistic heart of Jesus, and 7 years for making a half hour of adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. There is no age limit for Tarsesians, and the program may be carried on in grammar and high schools. In some places, the high school Tarsesians are called Legionnaires of the Sacred Hearts, and the program is adapted to their ages. One of the results of the Tarsesian apostolate is an increase of vocations. It stands to reason that the Sacred Heart would call to a more perfect life boys and girls who have manifested such love and generosity as his young missionaries. One community of sisters that has been promoting the Tarsesian program over a number of years reports a large number of vocations from the ranks of the Tarsesians. Their 1955 novitiate, numbering 28 novices, boasted 12 former Tarsesians, almost 50%. We conclude this chapter with two letters from the Holy See, marking the understanding and appreciation shown by Pope Pius XII to the Tarsesians. Secretariat of State of His Holiness, Vatican City, July 26, 1947. The letter reads, Reverend and dear Father, it gives me great pleasure to inform you that the rich spiritual treasury which you gave recently to His Excellency, the Apostolic Delegate, for presentation to the Holy Father, in the name of the League of Tarsesians of the Sacred Heart, has been received at the Vatican. His Holiness is deeply sensible of the filial devotion and solicitude which inspired so many young people in the United States to make prayerful reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus for the insults offered to the Vicar of Christ on earth. For this reason, your spiritual treasury, the fruit of so many individual acts of prayer and sacrifice, brought special joy and consolation to the paternal heart of His Holiness. It was therefore with particular benevolence that He commanded me to convey to you, to Father Matteo, and to all the members of the League of Tarsesians, the expression of His sincere gratitude. From your letter, the Supreme Pontiff learned with interest the account of the founding of the League and of its development, and it is his fervent prayer that the members, growing daily in the love of the Sacred Heart, may strive after personal holiness and may ever be zealous upholders of the honor due to God and to His Church. As a token of his paternal gratitude, the Vicar of Christ imparts lovingly to you, to Father Matteo, and to all the members of the League who shared in this offering, his special apostolic blessing. With the assurance of my esteem and consideration, I remain very sincerely yours in Christ, J.B. Montini. The second letter, the Secretariat of State of His Holiness, Vatican City, March 8, 1955. My dear Tarsesians, your Reverend Director, Father Ignatius McClanahan, SSCC, has sent the Holy Father your generous offering of prayers and sacrifices and Holy Communions in honor of the Marian year. His Holiness has graciously given me the privilege of telling you that he has received your generous spiritual bouquet and of thanking you for all the prayers and good works you have offered for him and for his intentions. The Holy Father, as you know, has the heavy responsibility of the entire Church throughout the world, and his burden of solicitude is especially great in these days when so many of his children are suffering want and persecution. He is therefore all the more grateful for the help and comfort which your prayers obtained for him from God through the intercession of our Blessed Lady. In order to show his paternal affection and his thankfulness for your devotion to the Vicar of Christ, the Holy Father gladly bestows upon each and every one of you upon your Reverend Director and his helpers, and upon your families, his particular apostolic blessing. With my own warm good wishes, I am sincerely yours in Christ, A. Delacroix.